Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Good evening and welcome into the HananiahAutos.com studio for Jaguars Monday, live at Everbank Field. Brian Sexton, Tony Baselli. You know, they should change that intro. It shouldn't say CBS Sportsline senior writer. It should say instigator, tweeter extraordinaire, troublemaker.
Irritating.
Irritant.
Burr on your behind.
Irritant. Pete Prisco, good evening and welcome in. We're here for the next 2 hours. We'll talk about the Jaguars. We'll talk about the National Football League, get you ready for Monday Night Football. Oh, and this side note, tonight at 7 on CBS 47, Jeff Loggeman and Brent Martineau have Paul Posluszny on Jaguars All Access. So tune in if you're in front of a TV at 7 o'clock. All right, here's our big three stories for you, the things that we're following today and topics of conversation, though not only what we're talking about tonight. We'll start with number one today in his news conference. Head coach Gus Bradley announced that Blaine Gabbert is back. He will be the starter this Sunday when the Jaguars return home to take on the Indianapolis Colts.
We saw a side of him when we went out and practiced on Friday where it looked like he had some freedom, you know, and he was running the service team. He was looking at a car and going out there and playing. And I talked to him about that because it looked like he was just playing. He was free and throwing the ball and throwing it on the run. And I said, that right there, what you just did, that's what we have to capture.
All right, so clearly the Jaguars head coach excited about the chance to have his starting quarterback back on the field Sunday when the Jaguars take on the Indianapolis Colts. Number two, the running game, or the lack of it for the Jaguars. It was a problem yesterday and in Oakland and against Kansas City.
You know, one of the things that we need to look at, too, is how important the running game is. And how important it is to come out and get a lead, you know, to where they can't send in. And here, all of a sudden, we're getting a cheetah package where it's four-speed rushers. And, you know, our offensive line's going, okay, you know, here we go. They know we're one-dimensional.
All right, so there you go. The running game's got to get things moving. And finally, consistency. A lot of heat coming at Gus for being so energetic and so positive despite the poor showing yesterday. And he says he's not about to stop.
They want it as badly as anybody. And believe me, they don't like going through this. And they'd like to come out to where we go on a run now. And we all do. But we just know in order to do that, we have to stick to this.
And that is what Gus Bradley will do. He and Dave Caldwell fashioned a plan for the franchise, and they're not going to let an 0-3 beginning move them off their mark so quickly. All right, time to bring in Tony Baselli.
Where are we going to start? Well, I got opinions all down the board.
Are you done with your supper yet?
And I knew that you would. So let's start with the obvious, and that is that Blaine Gabbert is back in the lineup, and you heard the coach, and he talked about what they saw from him on the practice field in San Jose on Friday when they were running the scout team. And he was excited. He talked about his talent, talked about getting back on the field. But here was what I heard from that in your comments. Please, they want him to not feel so robotic, so systematic. They want him to be himself.
Well, let me say this, and I'm going to make a disclaimer here because of all the people who are going to tweet and get angry saying you're a Blaine Gabbert apologist and you're just, you know, on the company payroll and all this.
You worry about what they think?
No, I'm just doing a disclaimer. Just calm down. Don't have a heart attack when I say this and just relax and listen. I agree with Gus 100%. And I think he put his finger on something because if you watch Blaine Gabbert, would anyone argue that he has tremendous athletic ability? No. Would anyone argue that he is a hard worker dedicated to his craft to be better? No. Would anyone doubt that he has not possibly one of the stronger arms in the NFL and can make every throw on the field? No. But what they would question is his game presence and his presence in the pocket and making plays. And I've always watched and I'm like, man, it seems like, and I want to be careful how I say this because I don't think he's afraid, but too conservative. Afraid to make a mistake is what, not afraid of, everyone says, well, he's not tough. Blaine Gabbert is one tough dude. Let me just tell you, go look at his hand, go look at his thumb, go look at the shots he's taking. But, Pete, I get the sense sometimes watching, if you watch the great ones, If you watch Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and Peyton Manning, they throw at places that if you're watching film or you're watching the game, they don't look open. And they throw into these windows like, how in the heck and why in the heck would you throw it there? Because they anticipate, they take chances, and they are so secure in who they are, and they have such supreme confidence that they're out there just playing the game. They're not worried about mechanics. They're not worried about what Pete Prisco or Tony Baselli is going to say. They're not worried about anything.
Well, maybe not you, but me.
Or you. All they care about is winning the ball game and scoring touchdowns.
Right. Any quarterback in the National Football League, and many of them, the good ones, have told me this, and guys you know, they say to me, I could go out a season and throw only 5 interceptions if I really wanted to. But that doesn't mean I'm taking shots down the field. If you play it safe, you're gonna fail. Bottom line. Brett Favre threw more interceptions than anybody in the history of the league.
Pretty good.
But he threw a ton of touchdown passes. By the way, when you talk, this is something that I've gathered from this, hearing what Gus had to say. Every band has a lead singer, or, you know, Diana Ross sang in the front and the Supremes were in the back.
You are showing a depth tonight that I don't know everyone knows you have.
But
he doesn't.
Everybody in the back, when you're the lead singer, you wonder, boy, am I replaceable? Can somebody come up to the front and sing and replace me? And you might be tighter than you normally should be. And then eventually the backup singer comes to the front and does a couple songs, and you realize, oh, I'm okay. Backup singer isn't what I am. That's what Blaine found out in the last 2 weeks. And that's what the team found out in the last 2 weeks. For all the criticism and crap that Blaine Gabbert has taken, he's still better than the guy, significantly better than the guy behind.
But that's not the end game. The end game. No, it's not. The end game is to figure out if Blaine Gabbert's the franchise guy.
That's what they have to figure out. But Blaine in his head has to figure out that he's not being threatened by the guy behind him.
No, but that's part of the
deal.
Blaine has to make his mind up that I'm going to go play football.
Right.
I'm not going to worry about anything else. I'm not going to worry. If I throw a pick, then I'll make it up because I'm going to throw 3 touchdowns.
There are certain guys that don't ever forget it. They feed them.
You can't be great then, I don't
think. People who feed off of that, in fact. That's part of what makes them great. They feed off the fact that they think they're going to lose their job next week.
No, but my point is, I'm not talking about losing your job. I'm talking about stepping on the field and saying, I'm the quarterback.
Play loose.
Play loose. Play confident. Play with some swagger. Be arrogant in the sense of saying, listen, I'm going to go score. And I'm going to make throws, and I'm going to squeeze it in, and I'm going to take chances.
But it's easier to do. The guy behind you isn't better than you.
I think if Teddy Bridgewater
was here next, it was a year from now. Let's just say it's the same scenario a year from now, and Blaine's playing like he did, then he's going to be peeking over his shoulder. Anybody who's ever played sports knows that.
But I think it's even more than just that. I think what Gus, none of us were there, but based on the conversation that Gus had, I think that's what Blaine needs to hear. I think he needs to hear the freedom to go play. Say, listen, go play the game. If you make a mistake, we'll worry about it.
Right.
You can't. I don't care what position you play, but quarterback gets amplified to the nth degree. Playing left tackle, you can't be great, and you can't play great if you're afraid of making a mistake.
Right.
If you're worried and fear is weighing you down and you're worried about trying to do everything perfect and making a mistake, oh, gosh, what happens if I get beat? You will be average at best. If you go out there and as an offensive lineman, I'm going to kick this dude's blankety blank all day long, and I'm going to go play, it's not going to be perfect.
You can say ass on the radio.
Well, I know, but my wife hates it. I mean, I don't think ass is a bad word.
Do you remember
but
in
my
the
70s
when you couldn't say booger on the radio?
Yeah.
My wife gets mad at me when I say it. So.
My wife probably claps when I say it.
Because you say a lot worse. I'm a pure soul.
I'm a pure soul, too.
I don't know about that.
No, but it's one thing to play loose. When you're playing scout team quarterback, it's like when you go down to the Y and you play a pickup game of basketball and it doesn't really matter and you got to go play a real game that counts. It's different. So if you can – I get what Gus is saying. Carry it over. Play that same way when you get on the football
game. Don't worry.
Right.
Play loose.
But why does he worry? Okay, that's the question.
Okay, well, I'm only speculating. He came in first year, was not ready to play, and got thrown in there.
And told him not to make any mistakes.
And it was awful. Mike Mularkey basically said, do not – at all costs, do not turn the ball over.
Right.
Don't throw picks. So your mindset is, I'm not going to even take a chance because they're happy if I just check it down and if I don't throw any interceptions. So year one, year two, the mentality was don't make a mistake. If you go tell – I coach high school football, offensive line. If I go tell the offensive line, I want you to go play. This is the blocking team. This is what we're going to do. But don't make a mistake. Don't be – all of a sudden they're like, oh, gosh, let me just play safe.
Right.
If I do, you know what I tell them? I say, go kick that guy's ass and go dominate.
Somebody call Angie.
Sorry, still not Angie. And go play as hard as you can, and we'll worry about everything else tomorrow.
All right, so there you go. Blaine Gabbert is back. When we come back ourselves from this commercial timeout, we'll talk about the running game and Gus's consistent approach to his football team despite an 0-3 beginning to the season. You're listening to Jaguars Monday, live from the HannityAutos.com studios at Everbank Field. And you're listening to Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, don't forget tonight, 7 o'clock, CBS 47 All Access, Jeff Loggeman, Brent Martineau, and Paul Puzlesny. Back to Jaguars Monday.
We got to throw a flag.
On who?
On Pete. He just did the throat flash. It's a,
to the read option.
We'll talk. We got lots to talk about. Let's talk about this Jaguars running game. Jeff Loggeman was here an hour ago, and I was asking him thoughts on the game based on the tape that he watched. He said the most important thing for this team is to find their running game because it is so obvious what they're doing or what they can't do very well that they've got to be able to move the ball forward and get into some favorable down and distance situations as they try to figure out who the quarterback is and how it all is going to work out. So what do you think about where this team is? Can they, if they go back to that blocking scheme that's different, you know, more power as opposed to zone blocking, can they get the running game going?
I wanted to ask you, Tony, is that big a deal? Because you guys went to it.
We did both.
Point. Right. Remember, we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
I mean, I don't.
Where Tom panicked that one year because he saw Derek Lavelle and the gang rush for 300 yards in a game.
In the playoff game.
Yeah, remember, they all went for 100.
And we ran, I think we were number two in rushing the next year.
How is it that you bring up Derek Lavelle and you forget Terrell Davis?
Yeah, well, because.
Who ran for 187.
But that's the point of it. Is the fact that he went in and then he got 100.
Yeah, well, Anthony Lynn had a big day, too, if I remember.
It was
right.
Bad.
Yeah. That was bad.
So is it complicated, though?
I don't think so, but listen, they're obviously struggling. But part of it is, you know, before we get to the sound, part of it is, I mean, is Maurice a zone runner? I mean, he's run one scheme his entire career. It's one downhill. It's gap blocking. It's counter. It's trap. It's, you know, or power, I should say. I mean, is his aiming points? Is he comfortable with the cutback and moving, especially with the foot, or is it better just to get him downhill and not have him to cut on that sore ankle?
Well, you know, I mean, Gus made the comments about how they ran more of the gap and the power, after the halftime break yesterday. And so, of course, that became a big story today. Earlier, he had a chance to address it.
We have zone schemes. We have gap schemes. We have all those in our arsenal. And, yesterday we ran a little bit more gap schemes. And, with Mojo, and it was pretty good. But we also had some zone schemes that worked out. So I think what's important for us is to keep that variety, to keep defenses off guard, that it's not just zone, it's not just gap, but to have that flexibility.
So do you see them running more? You know, Gus
well, they ran
talking.
A bunch of it on Sunday.
He was talking about how they got to do what they do. I mean, they don't do a lot of things well right now, so they got to find what they do well. I mean, you watch the tape. You've been around.
I mean, listen.
Should they be running more of this?
Was it better? I guess. But listen, they still only rushed for, 44 yards?
Yeah, and they had backups in the game, too, Seattle, in the second half.
Red Bryant is good. And so he got hurt. And it makes it easier when Red Bryant's not in there to run. They struggled in the first half running the ball. And I think they ran both in the first half, maybe a little bit more zone. But if you get pushed backwards on the line of scrimmage, I don't care what you run. And I looked at Jeff at one point. I'm like, what do you call if you're Jed Fish? Because if you run on first down, it's going to be second and 12. And so do you just throw it every down? Well, Chad's getting hit. At some point, that's why I go back to this is – and I'm not disagreeing. The quarterback is the most important position in the league. I'm not disagreeing with that. But you win games up front. If you can't block and you can't control a line of scrimmage, you're not going to win. Go ask the New York Giants.
Right.
Go ask the Pittsburgh Steelers. Two guys who have won Super Bowls, Super Bowl MVPs, franchise quarterbacks, can't win because they can't block.
But.
And if you can't block in this league, you can't win.
But, and I'm going to give you a big but. Matt Ryan played with Holmes at left tackle and – because he moved from the right side to the left side, and Jeremy Trueblood, who they signed off the street playing right tackle yesterday.
And they lost.
But, come on, he had him in a position to win the game, and they drove down and scored with 25 seconds left in the game. He wasn't bothered at all. They weren't bothered at all by that pressure yesterday. Dolphins who had
how many sacks did they get?
I think they had one.
Well, that's my point. The offensive line blocked well.
No, but quarterback has to protect those guys a little bit too. And in certain situations,
Pete, go watch the film.
Roethlisberger holds the ball.
No, okay.
Manning's line was just.
I mean, so my point is, but Roethlisberger, if you go watch him, a lot of times when he hits his fifth step, he has to move because he can't sit.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
My
Tony.
Point is, I'm not saying you have to have all first rounders. I go look at the Seattle Seahawks offensive line.
You're like falling in love with the Seahawks offensive line.
Because the last 2 weeks,
all right,
they played well. I'm
we'll
not saying
that
listen.
Seahawks offensive line when they go play J.J. Watt this week down in
that'll
we'll
be great. Great matchup because Carpenter and Sweezy are two good guards. Now, J.J. Watt, I mean, he pretty much.
We'll see how they do against Antonio Smith and J.J. Watt.
I think he had a sack or two against the Ravens, and I think Yonda and ultimately are very good. So, right. I mean, the best guards to get beat by J.J. Watt.
Okay, here's the question I have. Is this line built now to go beat a power line again? I mean, in other words, not a zone blocking line. Are they built that way?
Listen,
I mean, you look at them.
I know, but everyone gets into this. Are they built this way or that way? And maybe it's just me. Maybe I don't know enough about it. It's run blocking. One, you block down, and you double team to a backer. The other one, you zone, you reach the front side.
Right.
I'm not sure what body type is better than one or the other. I mean,
well, there's certain teams have athletic guards and some teams have big physical mountainous guards.
Well, so let me ask you a question.
Frisco.
Genius.
What is Frisco?
Genius, you got it all figured out.
I don't have it all figured out.
So if you're a big mountainous guard, are you a zone team or a gap team?
It depends. Can your guard move?
Well, okay, but you have to be able to move to pull and you got to be able to move to reach.
For example, Chris Myers of the Texans is a perfect athletic center in their zone scheme.
Yeah, he can reach.
Would he be able to be a good center in another scheme?
Yeah, I think he can back block.
Okay, well, that's debatable.
Well, I mean, Demonte Dawson, pretty good player.
Right.
Hall of Famer.
Right.
They ran the zone and they ran the gap.
Right, but you're talking about a Hall of Fame player.
My point is, listen, it's about the fundamentals. It's about, in my opinion, the run game is an attitude. It's a want to. It's saying I'm going to be physical. I'm gonna turn this into a fight. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna knock this guy off the ball. Yeah, and you have to have technique.
Is that missing here? I mean, for a team that's trying to find their quarterback and become a modern offense, is that mentality missing?
I don't know. I mean, George Arnold abandoned
it.
I mean, I think George Arnold is a good offensive.
Oh, I'm not speaking of technique. I'm speaking about.
You'd have to ask George Arnold or Luke Butkus. I mean, those are the guys who are in that room all the time.
Because the offensive philosophy changed so much that they don't have that. You know, look, in 2007, the Jaguars were not a great football team, but they won a playoff game. They beat Pittsburgh twice.
They're physical.
Because they knew they weren't going to throw the ball all over the place with David Garrard. But, man, with Fred and Maurice, they were running for about 155 yards a game. Now you've got Maurice. You don't really have a backup running back any longer. So has that mentality dissipated?
Here's what's changed with the way people run now. And I'm going to make you feel old because your generation was different, okay? It's different. And I'll give you the Colts, for example, yesterday. The Colts came out against the 49ers. Opening drive. Up 7-0. Late in the game, when they're up 13-7 and get the ball back, they ran it almost the entire drive and went and got the catching touchdown. Loosened them up.
Oh, I'm fine with that.
There's no loosening up here. That's the problem.
Oh, no, listen. We would do that when I played. We'd have schemes. We'd get in three wides. And Mark would get to the line of scrimmage, and it was a run-pass check. If they had 7 in the box, we were going to throw it. If they put 6 in the box, we were going to run some lead or zone or whatever. I mean, my point is, if they were going to drop 8 or if we were in 3-wide, 7 in the box, we were going to throw the ball to loosen it up, get them in too high safety, and then go run it up.
But Indianapolis is not what you would consider a physical football team. Now, they're working to get that way, but you wouldn't think that. For them to go into San Francisco against the supposed bullies of the National Football
League. Well, it was a surprise to everyone who saw the score.
Surprise, yes, but I think the tactics worked because they had luck and they went. If you're going to play, I think, and I've said this many a time, the Atlanta Falcons had the right blueprint to beat the 49ers. What they didn't have is when it was time to run the ball, they didn't run the ball. They couldn't run the ball. That's why they went out and got Steven Jackson. The Colts yesterday ran the ball when they had to run the ball. And it wasn't Trent Richardson, it was Ahmad Bradshaw.
All right, we've reached the end of the first half hour of Jaguars Monday, live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. When we return, from news here at the bottom of the hour. We'll reset our big three stories. Plus, we'll take your calls and comments at 800-355-NFL1. This is Jaguars Thursday, and you're up for news on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. All right, go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Don't forget tonight at 7 on CBS 47, Jeff Loggeman, Brent Martineau, Paul Posluszny, Jaguars All Access. All right, resetting our big three stories for you in Jaguars Monday. Today, it was announced by the head coach at his news conference that Blaine Gabbert will be back, will start Sunday when the Jaguars return home to face the Indianapolis Colts at Everbank Field. And Gus is hoping to see the guy who ran the scout team in San Jose last week.
We saw a side of him when we went out in practice on Friday where it looked like he had some freedom, you know, and he was running the service team. I was looking at a car and going out there and playing. And I talked to him about that because it looked like he was just playing. He was free and throwing the ball and throwing it on the run. And I said, that right there, what you just did, that's what we have to capture.
All right, the Jaguars' running game, or lack of it, is creating problems, and the head coach says that it has to show up for the offense to get better.
You know, one of the things that we need to look at, too, is how important the running game is and how important it is to come out and get a lead, you know, to where they can't send in. And here, all of a sudden, we're getting a cheetah package where it's four-speed rushers, and, you know, our offensive line's going, okay, you know, here we go. They know we're one-dimensional.
And finally, consistency. And Gus is getting some grief about being so positive in his sunny disposition, even despite the 0-3 start. And he says he's not about to change course because of that rough beginning.
They want it as badly as anybody. And believe me, they don't like going through this. And they'd like to come out to where we go on a run now. And we all do. But we just know in order to do that, we have to stick to this.
All right, we've talked a lot in this show already about Blaine Gabbert's return in the running game. We're going to talk about consistency, but first, we've got a couple of callers on the line. You can join us at 355-NFL1 or 800-355-6351.
Bring it on! We want to hear from you.
Victor is across the river in Ortega. Victor, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me on your program.
Turn your radio down.
I listen to your program. Pardon me?
Turn your radio down a little bit in the background.
Okay. My only question is this. We're having a hard time winning at home. We're having a hard time winning away. We need to find a neutral ground we can play on.
What? So you want to...
You know, and that's all I got to say.
Where do you want to go play, Victor?
Heck, I wouldn't know. I guess... maybe in Miami somewhere, you know, who knows.
Go to Orlando. Playing that dump.
Orlando, I'm sorry. There we go. Let's go to Orlando.
Maybe London.
Or London. There's a neutral site.
Maybe Gainesville.
Well, thank y'all. Thank you for your time, y'all. Right, I really appreciate your program.
Thank you.
By the way, how about the London fans over there? Boy, they're probably on the edge of their seats now. They're getting 2-0-3 teams this week in Pittsburgh and Minnesota, a 1-2 49ers team, and an 0-3 Jaguars team.
Hey, we might be 4-3 by the time we get there.
Yeah, I bet you're not.
All right, let's go to the
you're very negative.
I'm not a realist.
Perfect transition, because Gus continues to be positive and people are questioning that these days. And, you know, it brings us back to something we're going to say every week no matter what. You know, and when Victor's call came up across the screen, it said, need to win games, period. Hey, folks, you got to know what this thing is, and Gus does. He has a plan, and they're not going to shed it at 0-3. What good would it? You can't shed it anyway, because it's not like you can go, well, we're going to put this guy in and put this guy in and put that guy in. All of a sudden, we're going to win.
Who's ripping him for being positive?
Some fans and calling.
Oh, man.
What's he supposed to say? He knows what his team is.
That's what we've been saying.
I mean, what is he supposed to say? He's got a bunch of young kids running around, and half the team's not going to be here when the team's supposedly going to be any good anyway.
Well, I said it like this. Two things. One, it's obviously working. Because for that team on the road, after being on the West Coast for 10 days, being down 24-0, to continue to play and play hard and swarm to the ball and fight and be, you know, throughout the 60 minutes. Pete, you cover this league a lot. How many times do teams start laying down in those situations?
Tom's team did yesterday.
Well, you know what? Gus talked about that, and he knew he'd get some some criticism for people saying, oh, talking about the effort, when the bottom line in this business is winning. But with this team, he sees a lot of positives in the effort.
I'm hearing like Tom Coughlin, who I respect a great deal, say, hey, you know, our effort is great. And I hear another coach say, our effort is great, but it's still the bottom line. And, you know, it sounds like a broken record, but we competed throughout the game. It shows up on tape. One of the last plays of the game on defense, there was 10 guys hitting the ball carrier. And you see it demonstrated. So what does that mean to me? I know that's just part of it. That doesn't mean, oh, okay, we're okay because we have good effort. But that is a huge deal now. That's a huge deal. To me, it shows players aren't discouraged. They're not happy with the results. But when you have that, you can get better faster.
Let me tell you when you should yell and go crazy and get on guys is when they don't work hard, they don't prepare right, and they don't give great effort. If a guy works hard, prepares the right way, and gives great effort and gets beat, sometimes the other guy's just better than you. And yelling and screaming and carrying on and demeaning a team or that individual isn't going to change the fact that that guy's better than you on that play.
But if it happens on a continual basis, then you can start yelling at the people who drafted him.
Right, but we're way too early.
I'm not saying this draft class. Because I think this draft class has a chance to be really good. I'm talking about the guys who are here. And I got a lot of stuff at me yesterday about defending the old regime. And let's face it, you look at that game yesterday, they drafted a punter and Russell Wilson's on the other side of the ball and they could have drafted Russell Wilson. I mean, you can play that game anywhere.
Well, sure. They could have drafted Tom Brady. They could have drafted Terrell Davis in 1995.
Tyson Alualu was, you know, and I like... Tyson was drafted too high for what he is. He's not as bad as the fans portray him to be.
Well, but you're also talking about a guy that popped his PCL at his very first practice and then played 2 years, right, forcing microfracture surgery. You bring up an interesting point. And just follow me here. Go back to 2003, okay? They draft Byron Leftwich, but forget the player. He's not playing. They don't have the first-round pick in 04. They don't have the first-round pick in 05. The first-round pick in 06 isn't playing right now because he's hurt. The first-round pick in 07 is in Cincinnati. The first-round pick in 08 is out of the league. The first-round pick in 09, Eugene Monroe, is certainly not a top-10 tackle right now. Their first-round pick in 2010 is Tyson, who's just a guy because of the knee. Their first-round pick in 11 is Blaine. He's not been playing. And the first-round pick in 12 has been suspended. Now, you don't have your last 10 or 10 of your last 11 first-round picks. How many games are you going to win?
It's interesting you bring up they traded Reggie Nelson's a pretty dang good player.
Yeah, but
he's doing a pretty good job in Cincinnati.
But, I'm going to say this because I know this for a fact. Reggie Nelson, when he was here early in his career, and he'll be the first one to tell you, wasn't a guy who put the work in.
Right. Probably was the best thing for him. It traded his mentality.
I used to go to the hit center. All the players that used to go in there, Reggie Nelson was the one that was in there every damn day working his butt off in the offseason.
Yeah, he matured.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, oh, they shouldn't have traded him because at the time it was probably the thing that woke him up.
What about, Darryl Smith? There's one. And people have asked me this in the last couple of days because in last week he played pretty well. And then yesterday had an interception for a touchdown. And I saw Darryl 3 weeks before camp, maybe 2 weeks even. And he looked heavy to me. He looked like he wasn't going to play. He was resigned to the fact that his career might be over. Well, Baltimore signs him. He's playing out his body. People say, well, why didn't the Jaguars sign? Because he doesn't fit what they're doing.
No.
Could he help this year? Yeah. Would he have been starting if he was here? Yes. But it's not part of the grand scheme of things.
And Terrence Knighton's playing pretty well.
Very well.
And
watch
Derek Cox is playing pretty well. I mean, you've got some guys that
go around the league and put together a pretty good team of cast-offs
exactly.
Right now. But they don't fit what – although Terrence Knighton, to me, I'm gonna go on record as saying I would have kept him. Okay? If I'm
– He didn't have a very good year last year.
No, but there were reasons for that, such as – and I'll give you one. Ready? I don't know if you guys know the story about the weight. On Friday, you probably know these stories.
Go ahead.
One Friday morning, Mike Mularkey had his normal weigh-in, and pot roast was 3:35. He had to make it, and he made it. So that night, a bunch of guys went out and had big dinner somewhere, like at Ruth's
Chris
or something, right? Surprise weigh-in Saturday morning for pot roast. Yeah.
Oh
yeah. So he's 5 pounds over. Okay, 5 pounds over. They put him on a treadmill for an hour the night before the game. I asked Pot Roast this. I said, did you lose the weight? And he said, I lost the weight about 10 minutes when I was into the treadmill, but they made him stay on for an hour before the game.
That's idiotic.
Right. That's what they did to that kid last year.
That's stupid.
So what you have is you have a decade of misses.
That's so dumb.
He's loving that story.
And then some mismanagement in there, too, as we just heard. So you have all those misses. And you have all that mismanagement.
How did I not hear that before? That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I can't believe you hadn't heard that.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now
I'm glad I didn't, because I would have said something. I mean,
but he wasn't alone in that whole thing either. That's why some guys didn't play very well. But him specifically.
All right, so let me just finish my point. So you have the decade of mismanagement, right, and missed picks. I shouldn't say decade of mismanagement, although some people would say so. So what you got here, and I used this analogy yesterday, is it takes 3 miles for a cruise ship to turn around. Well, they got to turn this thing around. You got to go 3 miles that way to turn around and go 6 miles back the other way to get where you want to go. Gus and Dave aren't responsible for going that direction, but they're the guys who have to keep going to turn it around to go back the other way. So when people call and say, you got to win right now, or when you read a column like in this morning's paper where they're calling for accountability and changes, right? Do they not get it? Do they not understand? These guys have to turn this thing around. But they have to have time to do it.
To answer your question, yes.
That cruise ship might be the one on the coast in Italy, the way it's going.
Yeah, they got to ride it.
they got to pull that one back up out of the water.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I don't think it's going out 3 miles.
It's underwater right now?
It's a huge, huge job.
Yes.
And they've got to have time to do it.
Of
so
course.
When you read these comments in the Monday Morning Quarterback, and I try not to, because I realize those are the emotional fans, that the knee-jerk reaction,
they're
that go to Twitter and Facebook.
Those are the people that Pete Wish called all the time.
But the people that... the
they
people
call my show all the time.
If it's me, and I like to see things in a positive light, you see what these guys are doing, and you realize, okay, it's going to change.
In 2015.
Yes.
Anybody... you got to remember, half this roster is probably not going to be here in 2015, right? I mean, how many guys, this is one thing you do. Look at the defense, look at the offense, and say, in 2 years from now, those guys will be here. Definitely. How many can you say?
You know what? Let's take this break. We'll look at it, come back. Phone lines are blowing up. You can join us. 355-NFL-1, live from the HannityAutos.com studio. This is Jaguars Monday, brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated, all across Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, folks, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Last call, Jaguars All Access tonight at 7 on CBS 47. Jeff Lagerman, Brent Martineau, and Paul Puzluzny. Go to the phone lines and you can join us as we wrap up the first hour and get ready for number two, 800-355-NFL1 or 355-6351. Here we go with Drew in Riverside, up first in our final segment. Drew, welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, how many losing seasons in a row has it been now?
This would be number 3, because they were 8-8 in 2010.
Seems longer than that, but I just don't understand. You know, you have a guy like Blackman who has 2 DUIs, you know, before he even starts his NFL career, and
no.
Sign the guy.
That's not true.
It's not true.
He only had one. And actually, I think he only had one at Oklahoma State. And actually, if you get technical, it was reckless driving. It was not a DUI. It was reckless driving. Mm-hmm. The other DUI did not have – he got a DUI once he got drafted.
Well, what's your point on it, though?
Yeah.
Well, the point – that is
so
my
you're
point
wrong,
exactly there.
But you're wrong.
You guys keep defending –
you should get – hold on. Wait. Just get the – be accurate if you're going to be mad.
I'm not – we're not defending anything. This is a new regime, new staff, new everything first year. If they're in year three, if they're not any good – there's no defending him. They're going to be ripped just like every other regime has been ripped here.
But be accurate if you're going
to
take shots.
I know y'all have a tough job that you're so supposed to be talking about the team and everything.
Oh, no. This is not really tough. It's factual.
No.
Drew, what don't you get about what we've said? It's factual. We just laid out a decade of miss
on
the draft.
You know me, okay? You listen to my show in the afternoon, you know me. I'll rip hard. But you got to be a realist around here. This is a total rebuilding job with a new general manager who's and a new coach, and they're playing a ton of kids. What do you expect? Did you expect them to go to Seattle and win that game?
Well, if they'd signed the quarterback for that team instead of the kicker, I mean, again, just
that's the previous regime. That's the previous regime. Rip them all you want.
Dave Caldwell was in Atlanta when that happened.
Right.
Gus Bradley was the defensive coordinator in Seattle. So, again, what's your point?
The point is, it's just getting old, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, for you, I get it. Yeah, if you're a fan of the team, you absolutely.
And again, I know y'all are in a tougher position than.
No, I'm not a tough position at all.
We pretty much call it how we see it and how we feel about it. I get your frustration of the losing seasons. I think even Gus addressed that when he talks and says, "Listen, we understand. It's no fun, especially if you're a fan and you want to win, and it's important, and that's what's great about being a fan, and that's why the Jaguar fans are great. But at the same time, and I know this is hard to do, you have to be realistic that this is a brand new start, a brand new GM, a brand new head coach. All the mistakes, all the sins of the past are not on these guys' hands.
So it's not a tough job. It really isn't. No. 'Cause you call it like you see it. And this team isn't very good right
now.
And
they know
it. And it's not going to be very good right now. Bottom line. Nobody's saying they're any good.
And the owner said as much when he brought Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley in. He said, let's not be delusional. Let's understand what this is.
Well, just keep them home and not even play and waste the money until whenever it's going to take for them to be good enough to play.
No, Drew, that's dumb. So they're not supposed to play?
Well, it's not dumb. It's a black eye to Jacksonville to have this
team. Oh, what? So you'd rather...
You go ask
anybody in the business community. You go ask in the political community, with the Chamber of Commerce, the mayor's office, the city council. You go ask them if they'd rather not have an NFL team here in North Florida. And you suppose there's one person that would agree with you, Drew?
Yes.
No.
Are you a fan of the game or a fan of the team?
I would be if they were a positive thing for Jacksonville.
You're being an idiot.
That's all it is.
You're being an idiot.
Right, hey, wait, hold on. Drew, just real quick.
Yes.
Do you think that the Chicago Bears are a plus or a minus for the city of Chicago? Plus or minus, real quick. Okay, plus, right? Do you understand that they've won more games than any team in NFL history? But they've also lost more games than any team in NFL history. What do you think about that? Does that make them a blight for the city of Chicago? No.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. Over time, the franchise will have winning. Now, hold on. I want to finish my thought.
Drew's done.
They will have winners, and you will have losers. You can't just call yourself the winning NFL town. People used to laugh at Cincinnati. Laughing at them now? Don't think so.
I mean, Drew, that's enough. I mean, Drew.
That leads me to believe I have an idea where his football allegiance lies, too, by the way.
Down the road?
Yeah.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. I'm going to stay away from that one. Let's grab Michael.
Go Gators!
No. I'm staying away from Mike in St. Augustine as well.
What do you want to talk about?
Oh, don't even go there. Michael is in Zeeland, Michigan. Hello, Michael.
Yes, sir. How are you guys?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. You know, talking on Drew's thing, you know, if me being in Michigan, not really a Lions fan at all, but, you know, look at how they've had one playoff game in the last, 25 years?
You're right. You're absolutely right. Could you make your point quickly about running backs? Because we're getting to the point that we got to take a break here.
Yeah, the running back, the situation, you know, we just need somebody behind Maurice Jones-Drew. You know, somebody that's actually going to be a good, you know, looking at, you know, either free agency or trying to trade for somebody just to give a little bit less of a load on him.
Yeah, Todman's good enough to be a backup. I mean, bottom line, but you're going to be looking for a starting running back next year. That's the problem.
Guy's in the final year of his deal, 29 years old.
And the only other thing, too, is, you know, what about putting, you know, Denard into a backup QB role?
No.
That's yesterday.
That's what you watch in college football. This is the big boy league.
Yeah, and you saw yesterday when he handed the ball off and put the ball too deep.
Let's take one more call before we get to this.
We don't have time. It's time for us to break. But if Mike in St. Augustine wants to hold on, low hanging fruit?
No, we'll just.
Yeah, we like low hanging fruit.
All right.
Easy ones.
Yeah, well, then Mike in St. Augustine, hang on the line. You'll be first when we return for the second hour of Jaguars Monday. Live from the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. News is next on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Live from the HannityAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express.
Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, welcome back to the HannanyAutos.com studio for more Jaguars Monday. Hour number two, generally we start pushing around the National Football League. That's what Pete focuses on every weekend with 4 days down at CBS Sports Lines headquarters down in South Florida. But we'll still take your calls and do as much Jaguars as you want. 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Mike in St. Augustine obviously wanted no part of hanging on to throw
go back to barbecuing up front.
Are there three people out there?
I think there actually this week
I
there
saw
were
seven.
There was probably about nine. Last week
nine?
There were seven. There are actually a couple more.
It's growing. It's a movement.
When I went out there last week, I got you guys weren't.
I saw
no, but
I
you
was,
guys
I
you
was
saw
here.
The picture. But you, oh, yes, right. Remember when I told
yeah,
you that
I
guy came
it.
Out and said I was asked if I was part of the movement?
Yeah. You said you have to take a movement.
No, I said I went over to him. I said, "Movement? I'm the anti-movement. What are you talking about?
Do you know who I am? Did you pull that card out?"
No, I didn't play that card.
Don't you understand what you're talking to here? All right, Jaguars Money is brought to you every week by Crown Royal Maple Whiskey. Started maple finished for the smooth finish that we're probably not going to have here tonight because a lot of people want to call and be a little bit angry.
They have a right to be angry.
Yeah, I agree with that. I have no problem with people being frustrated and angry. But once you get over the emotional, you know, 24-hour rule, give you 24 hours to be emotional, angry, mad. But then at some point during the week, you have to realize, all right, my team.
Strap it back up.
It's who we are. We're rebuilding. This, you know, we can't make any judgments on the head coach or the GM at this point because it's too early. So we might as well get in their corner and cheer them on and be fans and believe the best because that's all we can do. Or you can be a miserable individual, and you have that right as well.
See,
I choose to be a happy, positive,
glass half full kind of guy.
Was that not proven on the radio
yes,
broadcast
it was.
Yesterday? I had
yes,
Dowdy,
it was.
I had Daddy Downer and Logman next to me, but I was trying to pump up the broadcast.
Yeah, but you know, the bottom line is, fans obviously want their team to win. But if, like, when I grew up, I was a fan of the Giants, and they stunk for years. I mean, they were awful. But if they were building to something. When Parcells got – when they got there and they went to the playoffs, they went to San Francisco, and he started Scott Bruner over Phil Simms, and I was so angry about that because I knew Simms was going to build to something. But they were building to something, so you're patient. And when they got a Super Bowl, he said, you know what? All the crap that they went through was worthwhile. So if you're – just like – this is going to sound horrible.
From you?
Yeah.
Horrible.
Fans
really?
In this city – in the back of their mind, should be sitting there saying 0-16 wouldn't be as bad as you think.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that.
Do you know how, but do you know how many people ask me, is it okay if I root for my team
to
play well and not win so that we can have the number one pick? Because they think about Andrew Luck, and they think, you know, there's a quarterback this year. Maybe that's what we need.
That's not necessarily a cure-all because you don't know what the guy's going to be, obviously. And you'd like – I mean, ideally, their best-case scenario would be if all of a sudden – Gabbert morphed into something,
right.
And he became a
and then they could trade the number one pick, get extra picks.
Right. If that's the
of course,
best.
If Gabbert
that doesn't happen,
if Gabbert becomes that, then you're not number one.
But if Gabbert is bad the rest of the season and they are 0-16,
then you need a quarterback.
Then you need to get a quarterback. And so in the back of your mind,
I don't want to be 0-16. Can we get 1-15?
No.
Why?
Well, 1-15, you'd probably still have the number one pick.
Well, you were 2-14 this year and didn't get it by a tiebreaker, and there were two tackles there, so it was the wrong year to be at the top.
Well, based on the way the one tackle that was picked number one, they got the right one.
We got the right tackle.
Yeah, they got the right one.
He played all right?
Yeah, he's getting better.
Yeah.
Well, the one in Kansas City's playing awful.
Yeah, I barely saw him.
I wasn't impressed in the preseason.
And the one in New York, the rookie that's starting in New York that they picked in the first round, he's really stinking it up. So,
the right tackle has Syracuse, Pugh.
Yeah.
And the Lane Johnson from Philly isn't having a stellar start.
But all of them, if you look at it, they're making transitions to playing right tackle.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
And they're all young players with an opportunity.
Pugh's not a left tackle.
He's a guard.
Yeah.
All right.
He's got short arms.
Phone lines are stacked up. Let's grab some of them. 355-NFL1. Tom is first up. He is in Mandarin. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
You got it, brother. What's
going
on?
Loud and clear.
Hey, good deal. Hey, Pete, I used to go by Darren, but I called y'all's show a couple weeks ago, and I was on hold for an hour and 15 minutes, and about 18 callers went by. I kept calling the lady up, asking what was going on. So And today I'm Tom. As far as the Jaguars, and you're talking about Gabbert, and I guess some conversation that he had with the coach.
It wasn't a conversation. It wasn't a conversation.
The conversation where I guess, you know, just be loose, go out there loosey goosey, right, and play. There was a thing that you had said about one of the quarterbacks, and I really want to talk about the Dolphins before we get to that.
Of course,
some scouts watching a quarterback at one of the stadiums throw the ball, and as soon as everybody was walking away, the quarterback threw the ball.
You remember that story? You remember who the player was?
I do not remember who
it was.
The quarterback
Kyle Bowler.
Was.
It was Kyle Bowler.
What was
so
the story?
My point being, as far as Gabbert being loose, sometimes I think Gabbert's scared. As far as
he's not scared.
Wrong.
He's not scared.
Okay.
He's not scared.
Okay. Well, just changing it up a little bit. How about them 3-0 Dolphins? I'm a huge Dolphin fan. The Dolphins are a younger football team than the Jacksonville Jaguars, according to NFL.com. Tannehill looks like he's going to be the real deal. The Dolphins are still without the three. Grimes is their number one cornerback, but Patterson, Jamar Taylor, and Will Davis, the two guys they drafted, those guys didn't play yesterday. The Dolphins went into Cleveland and won. They went into Indianapolis. I didn't think that was a big, big win for them. Look at what Indy did to San Francisco.
Miami's playing well, Darren. And Darren, Miami's playing well. Miami's playing well, but
okay,
we'll know more about them.
Thanks.
Monday night against
care,
they play New Orleans.
Appreciate the phone call, Darren. 355.
By the way, the story.
NFL 1.
The story. Kyle Bowler, and it was told to me by a bunch of scouts when he was working out in Cal before the draft, was throwing, you know, for all the scouts. And afterwards, there was a garbage can about 50 yards away or something. He goes, "Look, guys, I'm gonna throw it in the garbage can." And he tried and he tried and he tried and he tried. And finally, they waited and they said, "Nah, that's it. I'm not gonna do it." So they started walking up the stadium steps, and all of a sudden they hear, "I did it! I did it!" And they look back when nobody was watching. He threw it into the garbage can. It's a true story told to me by scouts who were there.
355 NFL 1. I wondered what happened to Darren from Mandarin. The Dolphins haven't been very good.
He changed his name to get on.
To get on the air, absolutely.
Got to give him an A for creativity,
right,
and effort.
We're going to have to remember that voice. 355 NFL 1. Let's go ahead and grab Hodge at the airport. Hodge, welcome to the program.
Good evening, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Got to do my 90th or my dad's 90th birthday about 2 weeks ago, and there's military brats. I'm a coach brat, you know, doing 4 years here, 4 years there, 4 years in high school. When he was coaching high school, do 4 years here, 4 years there in Arkansas, Texas, and Oklahoma, and I call him.
Awkward pause.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
Hodge. We're waiting for the point of the story.
Yeah, I called him when I left the airport, or when I was getting ready to leave the airport today, and asked him what he thought about the game yesterday. And he said, GW. And I said, "What does that mean?" And he said, "You just got to win."
Yeah.
I'll leave that with you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good advice.
No,
well
did
said.
Hodge say his dad was 90 or he is?
Yeah. Larry's in Mandarin up next. Hello, Larry. Welcome to the show.
Wow. And we take calls.
How do you follow that one, Larry?
Hello?
Hello, Larry. Keep going. We're on
How
a roll
doing,
tonight
guys?
So far.
Well, it just comes down to being a fan or not. No different than any other market around the country. It comes down to value. If I go to the local eatery and the food's not good, I don't go back. And Jaguar fans just have to make that determination if they see it as a value or not. Me personally, I haven't seen it as a value in several years, so therefore I'm not going to put money where there's no value.
And you know, that's
entertainment.
And that is your prerogative.
And that's an interesting point, because there are a few teams in this league that have a huge fan base, meaning they line up, buy the tickets, they're all gone at the beginning of the year, Seattle, Denver, you know, the Giants,
Pittsburgh,
a couple. But the rest of them have customers. And you got to go sell them, right? Because there's discretionary income. You got to go sell them. And the Jaguars are actively out there selling. But they're not selling what everybody seems to want, which is, we're going to win the Super Bowl this year, fellas. What they're selling is, stand united. Stand with us as we rebuild this thing and do it the right way. So this guy is a guy who needs to be sold.
But here's the question, though, okay? Will you, if they win again and start playing better football, are you coming back?
Larry?
Larry?
Sure. But I wouldn't expect people that are have a vested interest in having the team on the field every Sunday to agree with my stance, because obviously
I just did.
Somebody's making money off this gig.
Yeah,
but I'm not willing to give my money towards something I don't
you know
what,
and that's your prerogative.
Right.
Some people are fans.
Exactly.
Some people are fans through thick and thin and are there because they love the experience, they love the team, and they want to be there. And some, like you, Larry,
choose
want to go when they're winning.
You're obviously still a fan.
That's
you
fine.
Called this program to talk about it, so you're obviously a fan.
I'm a fan of the game, but not a fan of the Jaguars. I'm a fan of football.
What are you a
no
fan?
No matter if it's high school or college or
Where are you from, Larry?
Oakland, California.
Okay. Well, that's part of the, I mean,
so you're a Raider fan, then?
I mean, I'll just go back to, you know, growing up in
Raider fan before I was a Jaguar fan, yeah.
Okay, that's right. Fine.
So then you're a Jaguar fan, so then you're still a fan of the Jaguars, then. If you were a fan of the Jaguars when they were good, why aren't you a fan of the Jaguars when they're bad? You don't have to buy
it. I never said I wasn't a fan. I just said there's no
yes,
value.
Yeah, you did.
So
yeah, you did.
Yeah,
you did. You no, did you say you were not a fan. You said you were not a fan of the Jaguars.
Well, I
and
hope
that's your right. You don't have to root. You can root. He hung up on me.
Oh, Larry, I hope
Wait, it's like old times again.
Hope to see you soon, Larry, because that means we're winning.
But his point is well taken, and that is, and the Jaguars are not alone. I mean, there are more than half of the markets in this league have to go sell their customers, and winning is a huge part of it. But the Jaguars can't sell winning this year. They have to sell Stand United. That's the whole purpose of what they're doing. Some people won't buy unless you're winning. Some people will buy for the experience. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. And we go to Bill, who joins us from the beach. Hello, Bill.
Yes, hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Great.
Good. Look, I just have a quick question, and it really kind of bothered me. When a team is down and it's the last couple seconds of the second quarter and the Raiders kicked off and the guy fielded the ball and he ran about 20 yards and then took a knee, I mean, that's the kind of attitude I don't understand. I mean, why did he not trying to go to the touchdown?
Who took a knee?
The guy on the I don't remember his name. It's one of the receivers from the kickoff.
So someone caught the ball, ran out 20 yards and took a knee?
Yeah.
No, that didn't happen. That didn't happen.
With how many minutes left to go in the game?
No, 3 seconds left in the half.
So 3 seconds go in the half.
He took a knee in the end zone. He was coming out of the end zone. It was Denard Robinson.
Right.
He was going to come out, but his up blocker turned and said, stay, because he read where the defenders were and said, take a knee. You won't get to the 20.
Yeah.
That was just a decision based on strategy.
Yeah.
It just seems to me I'd at least gone for it.
It.
You know,
and get tackled at the 10.
Down. I mean, I'm sorry. I guess I'm an idiot.
No, you're not an idiot.
Well, I know what his point is. If there's no time left in the half, why not run it out? Because worst case scenario,
yeah,
you get tackled at the
down.
3-yard line. You're going to take a knee and go into the half anyway. So you might have a chance for a big.
No,
play.
That's fine. But if I remember correctly, he caught it on the back end line.
So what?
Okay.
I mean, no, he makes a good point. Why not try and run it out? You might rip it, and worst case scenario, you get tackled on the 3-yard line.
I mean, stranger things
right.
happen.
I see it because I see that happen a lot. I get that.
I was just wondering if that's a thought process issue.
No,
that
it's just an
in, to get
is,
over
I told him
what?
To stay in. No, that's every team does
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it's just
okay.
All right,
but well, I appreciate you guys' show.
You're
I really
not
did.
Thanks,
you're,
Bill.
Hey, you're Bill. You're obviously very smart because Pete said so. So you're not an idiot. Take solace in that.
Yeah. There's not tongue in cheek right there. Appreciate the phone call, Bill. We need a break, folks. But before we do, the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. Mercedes Lewis with the calf. Obviously, these will be updated later in the week. Dwight Lowry, concussion. Alan Ball with the groin. And Will Blackman, he also had a concussion yesterday. All of those will be updated on Wednesday. And we're back with more after this on Jaguars Radio.
GovX.com. The largest direct-to-military and government website, supplying service members and first responders with exclusive discounts on premium brands. From tactical to practical, GovX has the gear you want at the lowest prices. Shop 200 brands and over 15,000 products for you and your family. Go to GovX.com for more information. G-O-V-X. GovX.com. Savings for those who serve.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, welcome back. Jaguars Monday live from the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Time for the Copy Facts Face-Off, where Pete and Tony grab a topic that they're on opposite sides of, and I get to sit back and watch. So
and
here
before
goes.
We start.
Oh, okay.
we've had the first concession to admit that one of, because so far every week we both say we won.
Obviously, Pete conceded because I can't see you conceding.
No, because I've not been wrong.
Well, I can't.
He conceded.
I have no choice. It's right there. It's right there because the Steelers.
I said the Steelers would be no good and they were done this year and they're not going to make the playoffs.
Right.
And Pete argued with me and argued. And
so I'm 3-1.
No. You're
still looking down in the standings.
I'm 4-0.
So what are you two fighting about tonight?
Go ahead, Pete.
Okay. I'm driving in the car, and I hear all this talk about Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy and the disconnect and how they took something that happened on the sideline and made it into this big rift between the two of them. Let me say I visited with the Packers about 3 weeks ago and did some asking around about players, receivers with big mouths and everything, and asked about the McCarthy Rodgers relationship, and let me tell you, it is not a problem at all. And so my point
would they tell you if it was, Pete?
Yeah, I sniff around. I'm good. You know, you were in the locker room when I used to be my deep throat. When you used to be my deep throat, you know that. Got anything you want to tell me from back in the day?
You love saying that.
Because I know all your buddies are out there listening from the team. I knew it was Bizzelli.
It's not true, though.
Well, I used to tell some stuff.
Go ahead.
You're going
to
deny that?
You may not get invited to the J Fund next year.
First of all, I never told anything that happened in the meeting room or that Tom talked about.
Yeah,
no,
never. I don't know. I might have to call Osher on that one.
Osher's clueless.
Oh, there you go. But anyways, in our debate, I'm saying that everything that happens on the sideline and body language and quarterbacks yelling at wide receivers has become this magnified, over-dramatized theatrics that don't really matter.
That's not true. It does matter.
Why?
Well, because, now listen, you have to be careful to read into too much, but I do think it can be a problem. I do think there's real risk between players and coaches, and I think there's risk between players and players. I'll go back to last year when Jay Cutler punched his offensive lineman. That's a problem. I'll tell you right now. If Jay Cutler punches me on the side or shoved me, I'm knocking him out.
Well, now you're talking about it.
I'm just telling you right now.
You're
that's
talking
not
about an
happen.
Extreme now.
No, I'm saying
Kevin Gilbride and Buddy Ryan was an extreme.
There are things that happen on the sidelines that are real emotion and real issues and real rifts. Now, I'm not saying the Rodgers and McCarthy one is, because there's sometimes it's just emotional games and people are in the heat of the moment and everyone's a competitor and you're going at it. But there are real rifts. There are real quarterbacks in this league that don't like their that don't like their head coach, don't like their coordinator.
I remember one.
And it doesn't work. Why do you think Cam Cameron got fired last year?
Right, because he didn't like
didn't work well
Flacco.
Together. But there's a real rift. That was an issue.
I understand there are real rifts.
Winner again. Thank you.
No, you're not a winner because here's the point of the argument is you can't take and believe everything that happens on the sideline and magnify it into something it's not. Because
but sometimes it is.
Anybody, Tony, when you played the game of football, and you did, and you were a crazy, lunatic, nasty player, okay? You were. When you went between
the
lines.
That's a compliment. I think that's one of the nicest things you've ever said to me.
That is a compliment. But when you were a different guy between the lines than you were when you got off the field.
Sure.
Because
I didn't want to go to jail.
But when you got into somebody's face or something, you didn't mean it personally. It wasn't always a situation where it would carry over off the field, is what I'm saying. So we have
no, but there's also things that carry out the field. There were fist fights in the locker room.
Right. At halftime of a championship game.
I'm just saying there's real issues.
You're letting it all out tonight, Pete.
There's real issues.
Yes,
that
I
happen.
Get that. But also, we have a tendency now with Twitter and Facebook and instant cameras and everything else. And I'll give you another one. At the end of the game yesterday, I saw some stuff online where people were saying the Jaguars were smiling at the end of the game.
Oh, that's stupid. That's a different conversation. You and I agree on that.
I agree with that, but that's in the same.
What are they, and I always laugh about that. What are they supposed to do? Scowl in their face and go punch the guy that they.
You know what's funny you say that, Tony?
Cry.
You know what's funny you say that?
I'm going to kill you.
And you guys are all in the press box, so you know this. The obligatory angry face of the losing coaches when they get escorted out of the locker room is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life. You know what I'm talking about? It's almost like, God forbid, even guys that you know really well, that normally when they walk by, they give you an elbow and say, hey, what's up? They just blow by you with the scowl on their face because, God forbid, they get caught with anything but the scowl on their face, right? It's almost like you have to be that way. So that carries over. The coaches think it.
Yeah, because by the way, you can actually be upset and disappointed without
right.
and still go
not
shake
being an
a,
idiot.
And still go shake the hand of a guy
right.
you know and your friends with and smile game's and say, over. Hey, how you doing?
Right, yeah. Game's over. I you mean, beat me. I beat you. How you doing? How's the family? Da, da, da. Off you go. You're still mad. You're angry.
Yeah, trust me. You go sit in the film.
I was just about to say, Monday morning, you'd see right. a lot of scowls.
So anyways, I just back to the Rodgers thing. I think there's a tendency to overblow all the stuff that happens on the sideline.
Yeah. I think it's real, and I think you have to take case by case because there's real rifts and there's real issues that happen on the sideline that do carry over to the world.
Well, there was one more yesterday. It was Frank Gore.
Frank Gore
which
in
is
San
real.
Francisco.
Which is real. There's an issue, and you know it, and I know it. There's an issue in that locker room because Jim Harbaugh is a guy who has won since he's gotten there, and so his hard nose, you know, and it's going to come down with the media and everyone else because he's treated people a certain way, and when you don't win, all of a sudden.
Yeah, I agree.
Guys around, all of a sudden.
But he was complaining about his carries more than anything, not the
I'm
way.
I'm saying, but that's a real issue.
And
that's a real issue.
I mean,
admit it, that's a real issue.
Yeah,
winner, thank you.
Who's got it better
go
than
break.
We
go
do? Who's
yeah.
got it better
it's
than we
early.
Do? Everybody.
Yeah.
<It's just laughs> yeah, you didn't win that one. You didn't win that one. You did. Do Rodgers and McCarthy have a rift?
I'm not in the locker room. I'm not sure. And I know you guys are buddy-buddy.
Why would there be a rift? All they do is win.
Right, there's no rift.
They're one
there's no rift. But I,
well, yeah, I know. But I mean,
ESPN took
and
it.
And Rodgers threw some bad balls yesterday.
Yeah, he did. ESPN, he took a beating too, by the way. ESPN.
That's my whole point. The offensive line matters.
Yeah,
that's what you're finding out this year. That you know what? You can have the greatest quarterback and be the greatest of all time. If you're on your back the entire time, it affects
no,
you.
No, here's what matters. That offensive line play is really bad this year. Okay? It stinks. Because you know why? People aren't playing offensive line anymore. They want to play it on defense. The offensive line is bad. The offensive linemen in the National Football League are as bad as they've ever been.
How much of that is just the style of play? This read option stuff, they've gotten away from that. Put your hand in the ground and push forward.
I also think the big hit glamorization of that and put your hand on the ground and make money as a sacker has taken away from guys. If you come on, when you line up, if you're 15 years old, and you say you're going to be an offensive lineman or you can be a pass rusher, they're going to go become the pass rusher. If you can do that, you're going to play the pass rusher. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know if that's any different than when I played. It wasn't like, listen, there wasn't a long line of guys
why
saying,
didn't you play defense?
I want to be the offensive lineman!
Why didn't you play defense?
I did play. I played both
but
in
why
high
didn't
school.
You, why didn't you want to play? Did you want to play defense moving forward or did you realize that
I
you were going to
I was better
make,
at offensive tackle.
Right. Right.
That's what I played.
But I just
I played both.
I just think that the game has evolved to where the offense and you don't get to work together a lot. That's a problem. And
I think the whole spread offense, everyone's at a 2-point stance, everything's finesse, everything's horizontal in the college game. I think it affects guys.
Yeah, probably.
You think it ever goes back?
I think it stunts it.
Goes well, back.
I mean, everything works in cycles.
The best team in the country is a put-your-hand-on-the-ground power football
yeah, it's easy to
team.
Be the
– You're talking about Alabama?
Alabama.
It's easy to be a power team and play that style when your players are 10 times better than everybody else's.
All right, well, how about in the NFL?
I'm just telling you the best – well,
how about
Seattle,
the NFL?
Seattle is a physical zone boss, lead back, punchy-in-the-mouth team, and they're the best team in football.
And Houston's not a good example because they haven't played very well this year.
They're better than Denver, Seattle?
Yes.
They are?
Yeah, because they're better up front.
To be determined.
I'm just
when Von Miller comes back, to be determined.
Yeah, that's fair.
But the No Clady hurts. No Okung, though, either.
But he's going to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just on that 6-week system.
No, I don't think it's going back.
Okay.
I don't. I think the fullback is dead. The box safety is gone. The big middle plugging linebacker in the middle that weighed 260 pounds is gone.
Well, with the head injury side of it.
The game has evolved.
Yeah,
it's you know, bigger, faster. I mean, it's not bigger, faster, stronger anymore. It's faster, faster, faster.
Right. Yeah, but you know when that'll change? Sooner or later, one team, because everyone's built that way, is going to say, okay, I'm going to get really big, strong, nasty guys, and I'm going to go push around.
Well, that's what Saban did when he came into
little,
the Southeastern Conference.
Your small, short.
He took away what Spurrier had done, building that speed
and
athleticism.
And the spread. No, I'm just saying, sooner or later, someone's going to say, okay, everyone's going this direction.
Right, we're going back the other
way.
So
I'm going to go back and get
right.
the big
and then
guys
he'll be,
and
he'll
punch
be,
you in the
he'll
mouth.
Be revolutionary.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We'll go back to it.
All right, it's time for news as we reach the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. When we come back, we'll talk about some of these teams around the NFL that are 0-3 that nobody thought would be. You're listening to Jaguars Monday. News is next on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. All right, welcome back. Jaguars Monday with Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli. Phone lines are full. We'll get to them, folks, but we got to touch on this. As you look around the National Football League, let me go through a couple of teams here. The Washington Redskins, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the New York Giants, the Minnesota Vikings, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are all 0-3.
The only one that surprises me is the New York Giants. I'm not just saying this now.
You thought Minnesota would fall back that way?
Yeah, I thought Minnesota, Washington, wasn't going to say they'd be 3-0, but I thought Minnesota would take a step back this year. I thought Washington would take a step back this year. I didn't think Tampa's any good. I thought Pittsburgh would take a huge step back. Pete and I argued about it.
You didn't think they'd lose to Tennessee at home.
No, but I thought they were going to be a 7-19.
Yeah,
8-8 at best.
0-3 is a
lot.
I'm
just saying, but they're taking a step back. So it doesn't surprise me.
They were 8-8 last year, Tony.
Yeah, they weren't. I said they're going to be 7-9 at best, 8-8. The Giants shocked me. I thought they would be better. Maybe because I like Tom.
Me too.
You got Eli Manning and Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks, and you got a pass rush with Kai Winuka and Justin Tuck.
Part of their problem, you talk about the offensive line. They paid Beatty.
He's not very good.
He got destroyed yesterday by Greg Hardy. It was criminal what Greg Hardy did to him. Chris Snee had surgery in the offseason, and Chris has been a really good player, but I'm not sure he has anything left. They got a rookie with short arms starting at right tackle.
What year is this for Chris? And what do you have surgery on?
Hip, I think. I think he's
I'll double
check.
No,
he's more than that. He might be more like 10 or 11, no?
No, he's not that far. But I'll look.
Yeah, I think he's more like 10
or
11.
I don't remember.
10? He's more like 10.
I'm going here.
But so they're not good on the offensive line.
Is Pugh no good at all? I thought they liked
him.
He's
going to be a guard. He's going to be a guard.
No, you're right. This is his 10th season.
Yeah. He's going to be a guard, I think, eventually. And so they're not good on the offensive line. They struggle up there.
They don't have a great pass rush anymore.
Jason Pierre-Paul is hurt. He's coming back off a major injury, back
Tuck
injury.
Tuck is not the same.
Tuck is the most overrated.
He's old, too.
He's the most overrated player in the league last year. He got mad at me because I made him the most overrated player in the league. Yeah, I read some comments.
But he's old. He's up there in age.
And they have the slowest group of linebackers you've ever seen in your life.
They've been no good at linebacker for a long time. Right. They got away with it because they had such a good pass rush.
And then their secondary is not very good. It's not a good team.
Is that on Florida Reese?
Yeah, it's time for Floyd to take some heat. Tom's going to take some heat. Floyd's going to take some heat.
They don't get rid of Tom, I don't think, though.
You mean Jerry Reese?
I mean Jerry Reese.
Jerry Reese. Floyd Reese.
Floyd built the Titans.
Jerry Reese.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to get rid of Tom, though.
Oh, I don't think they'll get rid of Tom. No.
When you win two Super Bowls in New York, I think you kind of, unless you just are miserable
What
for
if they go 0-16?
Pete.
What if they went 0-16?
They're not going to go 0-16.
It's a what if.
They're not. That's a stupid question.
Okay, what if they go 4-12?
I still don't think he gets fired.
I don't think he gets fired, do you?
No, I don't either.
No, you build up.
Well, look, if you're around him at all when he comes down for the J Fund and the Giants people that come down to support him, the Mara family loves him.
Might leave. I've had enough. I can't do this anymore.
Can you see that? Can you see Tom leaving on those terms?
I can't.
No way. No, and the Maras love him.
If Tom goes out in the next couple of years, he's going out after he wins something.
Yeah, on his terms.
Yeah.
They better get a better roster.
All right. Here's another one. Mike Tomlin. He won the first Super Bowl, and that's the same team that Cowher had.
Lost the second one.
And
Green Bay
8-8 last year. And now
he's a quality coach, though. I mean, everything
Tomlin
you hear from those
anywhere,
guys up there.
Todd Haley will be fired.
Right. There's going to be a sacrificial lamb.
Right. He'll be the sacrificial lamb.
By the way, 5 Super Bowl rings. I sent this out last year on Twitter. 5 Super Bowl rings between Mike Shanahan, Mike Tomlin.
0-9.
And Coughlin, they're 0-9.
All right, how about the Washington Redskins, since you bring up Shanahan, 0-3. And you see that, who was it, the wide receiver from the Colts?
Pierre said
RG3 is clearly not the same guy.
Well, he's not the same guy because he can't run around anymore.
Well, he had ACL surgery. He tore it in January in the playoffs, had it at the end of January, beginning of February. I mean, it's a short window.
If he was a pocket passer, would he be the same guy?
I don't know this early.
Stop it.
I'm just telling you, it's not, I mean, listen, that's a quick turnaround.
He'd be the same guy because he'd be standing in the pocket making throws. The
I bottom know, line you is. Talk to Jaws, you listen to Jaws on ESPN, and Jaws knows his quarterbacks. He says his mechanics are terrible.
Jaws also said Colin Kaepernick was going to the Hall of Fame, and he's completed, he's got no touchdowns and 3 interceptions and thrown for 250 yards the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's not doing very good.
Okay, so.
But now he was great on opening day. 70% of his passes, 427 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
Right. And he's still – they're 27th in the league.
Green Bay's defense is –
They're 27th in the league in passing right now.
Right.
27th in the league. There's a problem there. And it's not just Kaepernick. I'm not going to put it all on him.
No Vernon Davis
yesterday.
No speed.
He had him in Seattle.
They have no speed receiver.
They have no speed. Bolden can't run. That's been proven out over the last 2 weeks. He can't play. Baltimore got the better end of getting rid of him.
So you don't – I just want to clarify. You think RG3 could stand and become a pocket passer, and will have to at some point.
Yes.
With a couple of ACLs. And you don't, Tony?
No, he thinks he can.
I thought you said last year after you did that New Orleans game
he
could.
No, I think he can.
Okay.
I was at that New Orleans game
last
year.
I'm just saying the reason is, let's not jump to any conclusions. The kid is coming off a major knee reconstruction 7 months ago.
But.
Right.
8 months ago, whatever it is. It's not long ago.
But.
Totally agree.
I had no preseason.
Tony.
Second year quarterback. I mean, that's a lot to ask.
I'm with you.
The offense was a crutch for those guys last year. And now the crutch has been taken away and they're falling down.
Well, their defense isn't
very falling
good.
Down. No, they're falling down.
Their defense isn't very good, Pete.
I get it, but he's also not playing very well. And the bottom line is, when you have that as a crutch, when it goes away, and it goes away. And Phil Simms said this to me one day. He said, Pete, you ever know a quarterback got faster as he got older? No! So it goes away. You have to go back into that pocket. And now the crutch is gone. Can he play in the pocket? And he's struggling because he's not accustomed to playing in the pocket. Not to say he can't get there.
Right. It's just not what he is.
Right. He can get there. But that's why the read option will go away. And that's why these
guys are going
away.
It's not going
away. Learn to play.
The 49ers just said they're going to go back and run more of it.
Why?
Because it works.
No, why are they going to run more of it? Why are they going to run more of it?
Ryan, help me. I mean, the 49ers said they're going to run
more read options. When did they say it?
This week.
Okay, why are they going to run more of it?
Because they're 1-2.
Why are they going to run more of it? Because the quarterback can't play in the pocket. That's why they're going to run more of it.
I don't care why, Pete. You said it was going to be dead, and I got, you know, the 49ers going back to more of it.
This
Make up your
that
mind.
That reeks of desperation.
Oh, you're desperate. You can't win a face-off.
I want to get to a couple of other teams, but a real interesting conversation could be the way that Seattle uses the limited amount of read option that they use.
That's the way to use it.
Oh, I thought it was going to be dead.
Well, it's dead. How many times did they run it yesterday?
Not many, but when they did.
A handful.
They did it a couple of times, and it was good.
Did they?
It was a play. It wasn't a system. It was a play for them.
Right. I'll give you a couple plays. Just like you gimmick up some...
It's not a gimmick.
Pitch to the running back.
It's not
a
two more teams. Two more teams. Then we got a break. And then I want to talk about a couple of 1-2 teams.
Gimmick.
Minnesota, 0-3. Last year, Adrian
quarterback
runs wild, and they go to the playoffs this year.
No quarterback, and Percy Harvin early in the year last year made a lot of big plays.
Well, he beat this team. I mean, Percy Harvin made all the plays at the end of the bowl game on opening day last year.
And so no Percy Harvin. He's gone. Adrian Peterson. I mean, you only can beat 8 in the box often.
They're also 30 seconds away from being 2-1.
I mean,
they lost
that.
To the Bears at on a late touchdown.
Of course, the Jaguars were 3 overtime away
You're
from
not telling me that Christian Ponder's the guy.
No, he won't let it go. You got to let it go.
And you were a Ponder guy. You were wrong.
I was.
You were wrong.
Was.
That's another one you were wrong about.
Yeah,
a lot of wrongs.
I admit I was wrong.
A lot of wrongs tonight.
I was wrong. Am I wrong about you going to the Hall? I guess I'm wrong about you going to the Hall.
That's the only thing you're right.
Final 0-3 team, and then we'll break Tampa Bay.
Shiano's getting fired.
You know who Shiano is? He's Tom when it was going off the rails for you guys in 96.
Well, he better hope he gets on a roll.
Because it was going off the rails in 96, and then Tom kind of pulled it back
you
together.
You were the one causing it to go off
I
the
was.
Rails.
I caused it. You know what? To this day, he still blames me for it.
You're a problem.
No, I wasn't. I had nothing to do with it. I was just an outside. But you know what? To this day, he still blames me for his reputation. You know that? I go, Tom, your reputation is because of you.
Right.
I just spread it around.
All right.
But no, they're bad. And that's
but they shouldn't be bad. That's a surprise.
Shiano's getting
fired. They look last year like they were going to go
here's
forward.
Here's an interesting dynamic on that team.
Okay.
Do you sit? You hate Freeman. Shiano hates Freeman. Hates him. Does he sit him and put his fate of his coaching job on the rookie Mike Lennon? See, I don't think he does.
He's getting fired one way or another. Miles roll with it. Go do it your way.
But
he's getting fired.
Right.
You know, your only chance is at this point, because the kid, everything I see and read is that Freeman and him don't get along.
Hate each other.
And so your quarterback's not going to play for you. And so
play for yourself. He's going to be a free agent after you. What are you going to play for the coach for? You play for yourself anyway.
Do you like Freeman? Will he be a high-dollar free agent?
I'm disappointed in him this year.
Okay.
I really am. He locks on to Vincent Jackson way too much.
Someone's going to pay him, though.
Yeah, he's 25 years old.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll look at some of the 1-2 teams that could be considered surprises in the National Football League heading into Week 4. You're listening to Jaguars Thursday, live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, and you're listening on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, welcome back. Jaguars Monday done. In the next 10 minutes, we've been talking about some of the surprises from a negative perspective in the NFL. Those teams that were 0-3, Washington, Pittsburgh, the Giants, the Vikings, the Buccaneers. How about a couple of 1-2 teams where the talent level is still significant? Let's start out in the Bay Area. Yesterday, probably the most eye-catching score as you look at the scorecard was what Indianapolis did to San Francisco. That's 2 weeks in a row now that they've been outscored 56-10.
And, you know, Tony was watching tape of Seattle and San Francisco last week, and we went in there afterwards and saw a little bit of it. I went back and rewatched the whole game, and you were spot on. They got abused on both fronts. Well, I watched the San Francisco-Indianapolis game. I haven't watched the tape on it yet, and it looked to me like they were getting pushed around again on both fronts. And that's their calling card. That's who they are. You know, when I was in St. Louis this summer, I was talking to Chris Long and some of their defensive linemen, and they actually beat them up a little bit last year when they played them. And they said because they come in and they try and bully them, and you do, the way to beat them is not back down from them. I'm not so sure they're the bully anymore.
Well, and I'm not going to say who it was, but talking to some of the people in Seattle, and Justin Smith's name came up, and they said, you know, he's getting older. They thought he had lost some weight to try to, as you get older, compensate to be able to move still. And he doesn't have the same power that he had last year. He's not – I mean, he's still a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's still – I mean, you have to block him and stuff. But they bounced – I mean, the quote was they bounced him around.
Yeah.
Well, and the combination with what he was able to give them with Alden Smith, now you got Alden Smith, and his future's somewhat uncertain.
Well, and you lost
your
nose.
He's in rehab.
Right.
That's why I say you don't know when he's going to come out, when he's going to be able to play. Yeah, right.
Well, it obviously wasn't such an issue because he played yesterday.
Well, that's why I say.
But under the CBA, they were –
Do you know when he's coming back? Well,
no.
Will he be back for the London game?
It's an in-treatment
right.
facility. Typically, minimum, those are 28 right. days.
They suspended a guy last year for the same thing and didn't let him make a road trip. But he was a backup. It's the hypocritical NFL.
Don't you understand? The better you are,
the more the rules.
See Lawrence Taylor.
The more the rules work, right. The more the rules work in your
right.
favor.
See Lawrence
All right,
Taylor.
So a team that
the old saying is, you know, any coach who says I treat everyone the same is a liar.
Which is why you got flown back from Stevens Point on a private plane and
the other guy.
Stevens Point Memorial Hospital.
As a coach, I think all great coaches, they respect all the players the same. They respect them. They treat them as human beings the same way. In the sense of, you know, with respect. But you don't treat like who practices and who doesn't practice
right.
the same. You just don't. Like all Tom's rules were the same for everybody. He wanted me wearing white socks whether or you were the practice squad. Where you couldn't wear white socks on the road.
Right.
I have no idea still to this day why he cares what colored socks I wore.
Yeah, but I bet if there was a bone bruise, you wouldn't have been bleeding in your boot.
Wow. I mean, you're going all kinds of places.
Now.
My point
you're bitter
is,
that you're
I'm
not invited to that thing every year, aren't you?
Oh, I love Tom.
I'm trying to say is those rules apply different. But now, injury, and if, you know, if Fred or Mark tweaked his ankle or the third team linebacker who's a special teams guy tweaked his ankle, it might be treated a little different.
Right. It's the hypocritical oath of the National
it's
Football
not
League
hypocritical.
Coach. Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Because here you have Parcells.
You're going to be more conservative on a guy that you can't afford to lose.
But when it comes to like disciplinary
smart?
Measures, if you're a
yes.
guy who preaches discipline and you have LT, like Parcells.
Well, that was a little example. Different. I mean, that's
LT,
extreme.
Do you realize, I heard this story. Those guys told me this story when I was up there in New York, in Philly, doing the thing. Sim said that LT showed up midway through the first quarter for a game on national TV. Think about that now. And you know what his excuse was? He said the foursome in front of him was slow that day.
No way. That's not true.
That is true.
For a preseason game?
No, a regular season game. It
no
was
way.
On TNT. Do you remember? It was against the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, those were Sunday night games.
They were.
I don't buy it.
TNT had the Sunday night package back
right
in the early
out of,
days.
Right out, I haven't seen the documentary yet.
Right.
But I think
that's
on the LT documentary it was on there.
All right, real
here's
quick.
Before we go to that, here's the thing, though. That is hypocritical. And Tom, and I don't know why I'm bringing up Tom, but you get the same sense that Gus is the same way. Those type of rules are the same for everybody.
They need to be.
And they were. I played here, and I'm not going to get any names, but guys who – did some things night before the games where penalized just like anybody else.
Yeah, and but in San Francisco it wasn't, because there was a reserve last year who got a DUI on a Friday and didn't make the road trip.
He didn't have 19F sacks
last year,
Pete.
That's right. He didn't.
Or did they turn it around? Did they get this thing righted, or is it going to be just one of those up and down years for them?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you're talking about being the bully again, you're going to go face the team Thursday night that says you're not going to bully them?
I think
it on Thursday.
I think St. Louis beats them.
You might be right. You might be right.
All right, they two others. Problems. Green Bay.
I mean,
they've had a tough start.
They'll be fine. Their offensive line, you talk about bad tackles right now, rookie playing left side, Barkley playing the right side. They were abused by the Bengals yesterday. And he was getting that back foot down, and ball was coming out. He threw two bad interceptions.
And really, if you look at that game, if they don't fumble on third or fourth and short, fourth and inches, if the Packers don't fumble on fourth and inches, that's returned back by Terrence Newman for a touchdown that gives them the lead, the Packers might win that game.
Four turnovers for Cincinnati, though.
No, I'm just saying, but that was a return in the game. Yeah. Packers are controlling the game. If they get the first down there, they could run a lot of the clock out. Packers will be fine.
14-0 down, then up 30-14, then you lose
34-30. But I'll say this. The Packers they're not going to the Super Bowl.
Well, who is in the NFC? Seattle? You already crowned them.
I like Seattle.
Yeah. Well, we'll know more about Seattle this week.
I agree.
Finally, Smitty in Atlanta.
Trouble.
They
only because you got a lot of injuries. New Orleans in the division. Now the good news for Smitty, I think Carolina and Tampa are awful.
Right. They were supposed to be good.
And they were supposed to be good. So those are games. And the NFC, if you look around, at the beginning of the year, everyone said, "Oh, the NFC is so much better than the AFC." NFC is so much better. I mean, show me
who's good.
And show me
Seattle.
10-6 is making the wild card of the NFC. Maybe 9-7.
Right. Because you figure right now the best team in the NFC East is the Cowboys.
And they're going to lose their share.
Everybody else stinks right now. You go to the NFC North, the Packers are 1-2. The Bears are 3-0.
The Lions are terrible.
Lions aren't any good. And the Vikings aren't any good. You go.
How are the Lions
not any
good?
You go to the South, the Saints are playing really well, and their defense is playing well.
Yep.
Falcons will get it going. And out West, San Francisco, are they any good?
Seattle's 1-2. Arizona's 1-2.
Right. So, I mean, you think about it. Who's good in the NFC? The NFC is supposed to be the power league.
Yeah.
How are the Lions not any good? How is that possible with the talent that they've got on that team?
Well, they're talented at defensive line, a talented quarterback, wide receiver. At other spots, they're not so talented, particularly on your offensive line. I mean, that's a problem. You got to be able to protect that guy.
Say it again now.
You got to be able to protect that guy.
Say it one more time.
You got to be able to protect that guy. I'm a big believer in that.
I thought wasn't last year's first-round pick a left tackle?
Reef.
Yeah, Riley Reef from Iowa.
First year starting over there.
Yeah, but then they allowed Gossard Charellis to leave.
And he had a good day last week against Cameron Wake.
He's a good player. Yeah, they should never let him go.
They got a journeyman over there, plus he was hurt yesterday.
Let's finish on an up note for Darren, who called a long time ago. Is Tom, Dolphins are 3-0.
I was impressed yesterday.
I haven't seen much of them other than what we saw
in
preseason.
They have a great defensive line.
Well, Soleil didn't play yesterday, so Atlanta ran on him even without Steven Jackson.
They have a great
– really good. And Wake
good
got hurt.
Line. Their linebackers –
Wake's got an MCL, right?
Yeah, he'll be back. He'll be okay.
Their linebackers are solid. They run well.
Yeah, Ellerby and Wheeler are good players, and Meese's okay.
Tannehill the guy?
So far, you put him in a situation, say, go drive your team to a winning touchdown, 80 yards or whatever he did in the final minutes, and he did it.
Yep. And he did it. And then the back, Lamar
Miller. He's got explosive
Miller's a good player.
The offensive line still a little shaky. You saw the Falcons getting pressure. Umanyora got a couple sacks, a couple hits on him. That's a little questionable. Well, hey, they go to New Orleans next Monday. 2-3-0 teams.
They're not winning that.
I don't think they are either.
And how good is New Orleans?
I tell you what, the weird dynamic of the Saints right now, they've been better on defense almost than they've been on offense.
That's another one I was right and Pete was wrong. Sean Payton back would make a big difference.
No, I thought so too.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I put him in the playoffs. What are you talking about?
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Great show.
See ya.
Every Monday, Jaguars Monday. Pete Prisco, Tony Buscelli, live from the HannanyAutos.com studio. Thanks to Joe Fortunato, our executive producer. And we'll sign off and enjoy the game tonight, folks.